Was Jesus a socialist? Some people talk about him in such ways today as if he is, and as if he would approve the kind of big government spending that we see in all kinds of different countries, including in America. We're going to talk about this right now with Larry Reed, past president of Foundation for Economic Education, fee.org, F-E-E.org. His own website is LawrenceWReed.com. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Larry, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure, Jerry. Thank you very much.
Sure. And before we get into directly the topic of was Jesus a socialist, would you like to say a comment or two about the founding fathers of America when it comes to socialism, big government spending, versus free enterprise and private property rights?
Well, with regard to America's founders, it's hard to believe that anybody could argue that they were sympathetic to socialism. What they established was a republic of limited powers within government, and with all the kinds of checks and balances that would keep government from growing. I think to a person, America's founders would be horrified if they could see what's being done today in their name, and if they could see the size and scope and the intrusiveness of government as it's become.
Okay, can you give one example, maybe a quote or something from one of the founding fathers or some particular policy they espoused?
Well, Thomas Jefferson was not only one of the founders and the author, the prime author of the Declaration of Independence, he was our third president as well. And he made it quite plain that though the tendency, this is in his words, is for government to grow, he was in favor of putting in place the kinds of restrictions that might stop that. And, of course, when he became president in 1801, he tried to reduce the size of government that John Adams had left him.
Well, that's interesting. He increased the size of the whole country, but at the same time reduced the size of government. That's fascinating. No, seriously, I mean, under his presidency, the United States, added a lot more, territory with the Louisiana Purchase.
It did. It added a lot of territory, but it didn't add in the way of a new government. He kept it small.
Okay. Jesus is the key to so much. I mean, our very lives come from Jesus himself. So where he stands on any particular issue is of critical importance. Some people today, for example, groups like the Sojourners, based in the greater D.C. area, they claim to be evangelicals and so forth, but their politics are so far to the left, it's crazy. But anyway, they would virtually say Jesus was a socialist. And you've written a whole book about this. Tell us.
Yeah, I would suggest they take a closer look at the New Testament, at the actual words that Jesus spoke, because there is not a shred of evidence, not a single quote, nothing in his teaching that would endorse the ethics or the economics of what we call socialism. He never called for the central planning of an economy, never called for the forcible redistribution of wealth, never advocated for the government ownership or confiscation of property. So everything that you think of as socialism or aspects of it really is antithetical to what Jesus taught.
But it's funny. Sometimes I think the word socialism almost gets defined today as sharing, whereas capitalism is defined as greed, and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Socialists often say that socialism is sharing and caring. They don't want to tell you that it usually involves the suppression of dissent and the concentration of political power. But let's suppose for a moment that socialism is nothing more than sharing and caring. Well, there's more sharing and caring under capitalism than there ever is under socialism, because there's more stuff to share and more stuff to for people to contribute to the well-being of others. Look at the flow of foreign aid. It's almost exclusively from governments of countries that are free and capitalist to the countries that are unfree and socialist. So sharing and caring isn't enough to say that's what socialism is, because you can do that under capitalism. And as I say, there's more of it under capitalism than there is under socialism.
One of the points of Karl Marx, or one of the statements, was from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. There is a statement in the New Testament from Paul where he says something in Corinthians that almost sounds like that, but it's in the context of private, voluntary sharing within a church context. It's certainly not something that the government would do at the force of a bayonet or, you know, a gun, the barrel of a gun.
Yeah, that's right. Just as Jesus himself never called for more government in any form, for any purpose, Paul was not endorsing the use of the coercive apparatus of the state to help people or to share with them. He was calling for Christians to do that and do it of their own free will, just as isn't the case also with the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told. Why do we call the Samaritan in that story good? He came across a man in desperate need, and he didn't call for some government program to come to the aid of the man. Instead, we think of him as a good Samaritan because he helped a man out of his own free will and with his own resources.
When you look at somebody like AOC who advocates socialistic policies, what are your comments? I mean, I'm sure there's probably a lot of young people who look at her almost as a hero.
Yeah, I think AOC is extremely superficial, skin deep in terms of her understanding of economics. Even though she has an economics degree, I don't think she really understands it. She's so caught up in the vision of everybody getting what she thinks they ought to have that she doesn't care how they get it. In fact, her preferred method is through state confiscation of what belongs to other people and then redistribution to those she thinks ought to get it. So I think she's in a long line, you might say, of socialist tradition. Socialists, almost by definition, fail to understand economics, and they have no conception or no theory of wealth creation. You know, those of us who believe in freedom and free markets, when we talk about wealth creation, we talk in depth about things like entrepreneurship and incentive and the profit motive and investment, innovation. But the socialists just assume wealth is just sort of there for the picking. It's just the low-hanging fruit from the tree of life. Who knows how it came into being, but we should just go pick it and distribute it the way we want to.
One thought, too, that's very important is that under a free enterprise type system, there's a lot more that's produced. You've already mentioned that. There's just a lot more to share and so forth. But, you know, comment on the limited pie idea, you know, versus the idea of making more pies or, you know, something to that effect.
Yeah. Yeah, the old pie analogy is a very good one. I think if you really want to help people out, you ought to be in favor of the kinds of policies that allow for creative people to bake a bigger pie so that there's more to distribute through the marketplace or through philanthropy. A shrinking economy only helps those who have political connections and political power. But for the poor, the worst thing in the world is a shrinking economy, because you can bet with their lack of connections, so they're going to bear the brunt of a declining economy.
Well, how does something like inflation caused by socialistic-type policies being put into implementation by the government, how does that affect the poor?
Well, that disproportionately hits the poor as well, because think of it this way. Where does most of the resources that the poor have go? They go to spending for things they need, like food and clothing and shelter. Yes. And if those things are going up in price, the poor don't have the kinds of investment opportunities that might allow them to reduce the effect of that. They feel it, you know, right in the face in higher prices of everything they buy.
Okay, now let's talk about the parable of the sheep and the goats, what Jesus said there. What if somebody said, well, see, this shows you socialism is, you know, what Jesus is advocating, again, not capitalism.
No, I think, again, Jesus was in favor of things that are peaceful, that are creative, and that result in a bigger pie for everybody. In his parable of the talents, for instance, he made it quite plain that the man who took the talents or the wealth that he was entrusted with and invested it them and turned it into the greatest amount of wealth, he was the one that Jesus reserved the highest praise for. And he condemned the man who just took the wealth he was entrusted with and buried it in the backyard. So I don't know of anything or any parable that Jesus ever uttered that endorses the forcible confiscation of wealth, its redistribution, or any of the motives that often lead to that, such as envy.
You know, I think this point you were saying just a moment ago about the guy who buried his talent, boy, within a socialistic scheme, that is a major, outgrowth of it, because basically some people, for example, take the situation of welfare, people who are on welfare and they take advantage of the system. In other words, they never, it's not like a safety net for them. It's more like a way of life. And they're not getting out and working and so forth. They're not fulfilling the probation that God has put them on this earth for. They're not fulfilling their destiny, in effect.
Exactly. Another way of putting it is they're not using the unique talents that God gave each and every one of them.
Yeah.
He didn't endow you with the humanity that you have, the unique characteristics that make you who you are, with the idea that you would just sit on them and expect somebody else to use their talents to subsidize you.
Well, I'll bet you there's some people, especially in some of more of the liberal church circles, who would think that Biden was much more of a Christian-oriented candidate than, say, somebody like Trump, who's a little more, you know, rough around the edges and not Christian-oriented. And yet, in terms of the actual economic policy, you're saying that the policies of somebody like Mr. Trump would be more compatible with what you read in the Bible. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah. Personalities aside, because that's where I think Trump had some major shortcomings, but in terms of policies, his policies were far more conducive to making a bigger pie than Biden's is. And in spite of all the left's talk about wanting to help the poor, the growth of government is not the way to get that accomplished. If Jesus came back today and spoke to a large assembly of people, and let's suppose he said, okay, tell me what you did for the poor. If you raised your hand and said, well, I voted for the politicians who promised that they would take care of that, I don't think Jesus would be impressed. He would say, what? I told you that was your responsibility. I didn't say you could pass it off on the politicians who can only satisfy that by stealing from somebody.
Yeah, and what's interesting, too, is that in actual effect, what the politicians who, in effect, you know, not only confiscate other people's property and so forth, but they're not really delivering the goods. So, in other words, you know, under a more pro-freedom type government situation, the poor do much better than they do, you know, in a situation where everybody is getting taxed to the max and production is down. So it's really, it's amazing. It's almost like using Jesus for political purposes. And certainly people on the right do that as well.
That's exactly what it is. And when you look at government policies towards the poor, there are people on the left who will say, well, see, that's evidence of the government's compassion. But to the extent that government welfare simply breeds intergenerational dependency that give people incentive not to use their talents, to sit on their fannies, that doesn't help them at all. But private charitable philanthropies hold people much more accountable. When I give to a charity because I want to help people, I only do that so far as I know that they actually produce results. If you came to me and said, hey, give us money because we are creating dependency, we're making people dependent for their entire lives, and that's going to help them, I would say, forget you, I'm going to give it to somebody else. But that's what government does all the time.
Wow. Okay, we're out of time. LawrenceWReed.com for more information. Was Jesus a Socialist? Larry Reed, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jerry.